Michelle someone who just pours out her life in love to one person and two people and another person, and she's on the phone or she's visiting or she's praying, and we're blessed to have you in our lives, Michelle. We're blessed. I love this woman. So, you're in for a really good treat, I know, because the Lord spoke to Michelle about sharing with us, and the day that she was going to say something to me in one of our meetings, the Lord, the night before, gave a dream to Steve that said she was going to be speaking. And then she got up the nerve to say, I think I'm supposed to talk. And like, it seems like God is confirming. And I said, I have the date. It's in 2 weeks from
I said, no. No.
So Michelle's going to share from her heart and the word and her life. And I really encourage you, again, take hold of the key, the door of your heart, and open it up to receive. And I'm just going to bless her right now. Lord, thank you for your servant. Thank you for pouring into her for so many years. The word of God, the experience of the life of God, the work of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we come today as a people greedy, hungry, thirsty for what you want to impart to us. So we approach you and say, Lord, all that you've put in her, draw it out today. Speak to us. Anoint her so that she can easily communicate the things that you've put on her heart to share with us. We pray, God, that you will be glorified, your name lifted up, and you will be revealed as the incredibly good, wonderful, loving God that you are. So come and speak and have your way with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I wrote a bunch of stuff. Let's see if I read it all, if I talk about it all. This cross is really significant. 51 years ago, I was 9 years old, and the Lord has so graciously gave me my salvation and my safety on that night. And I'm going to read from Psalm 139, and then I'm going to tell you about my life and how this scripture has impacted me throughout my walk. So if you want to open your Bibles or your telephone, I use my phone a lot too, so this is good, baby, right? I could see. I was afraid I wasn't going to be able to see this. So, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Is that what your Bible is? Okay. I like it. It was simple, and there's some of you here that, there's some of you in the room that I know don't know about the presence of God. And I want to tell you, when I was given this scripture, I had no idea. Actually, I was pretty mad. And I'll tell you about that in my story, but I was really mad when a Christian counselor gave me the scripture, and it turned out to be such a blessing in my life over the years. Oh Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down and stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. This is really hard to read. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go to the heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, and Lord knows I've been in the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell my furthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in the darkness I cannot hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, and I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before the single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts of me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand, and when I wake up, you are still with me. Oh God, if you would only destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name. Oh Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with total hatred, for your enemies are my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Oh God. So this cross, I was 9 years old and I was sent to live with my dad. And I was, and I didn't understand. I had no idea, like, why I was sent to live with my dad. My brother already lived there. I don't know. Maybe my mother needed a break. I don't know. I never really asked that question. I thought that was funny when I was thinking about this. But what I do know is I laid in bed one night. My dad sent me to live with some people because years later I found that my father was an alcoholic and he couldn't take care of me. So he sent me to live with this beautiful family. They were so good to me. They were friends of his, and they were such a wonderful family. They had two little kids, and I would go to bed at night at 7 o'clock with these little babies. And I was 9. You know, we don't have to go to bed at 7 o'clock. And I would lay in bed and I would cry. And I remember crying because I always knew that there was a God. Let me say that first. I was raised Catholic, so I always knew there was a God. I went to church on Christmas and Easter, but I had no, huh? Everybody relates, huh? But I didn't have a relationship with God. I didn't know I could have a relationship with God. No one ever taught me that. And so I remember crying in this bed, crying out to God. And I looked out the window, and in the far, and I don't even know if this is real or if this is just God blessing me. But I looked out the window crying, and there was this white cross on a mountain in front of me. And this cross would become my help for so many years after that. It would be, when I was struggling, I would close my eyes and there would be the cross. And there would be the cross, and I didn't even know what the cross meant. You know, I had no idea what the cross meant at this time in my life. And, you know, I'd like to tell you that my salvation happened that night in that bed when I saw that cross, but it didn't. But that doesn't mean anything, because his hand was on me the whole time. His hand was on me the whole time through all the muck and the mire. And, you know, and we are so precious to God that he recorded this book for us, for every one of you. Everyone sitting here today, there is instruction and there's guidance and there's peace and there's love in this book. And over the years of my life, it's come alive. So in 1992, I was at the depths of my disease. And the depths, I mean, it was the first 4 years of my son's life, and it was the worst 4 years of my life. And my sister-in-law says, come on, let's go to church. I got this flyer on my car. And I was like, all right. So we get the kids dressed for Easter. It was Easter Sunday. We get the kids dressed for Easter Sunday. We'd been up all night. And we go to this church. And it was New Song Church. And it was at MiraCosta College at the time. It was not even in a building. It was at the college. And I was so desperate and so broken. When they did the altar call, I accepted Jesus into my heart. And I meant it. I meant it. I was so desperate. I wanted a way out so bad. And I accepted Jesus into my life that day. And I'd like to tell you that I followed him, but I didn't. I went to church. I remember the pastor's wife. Some of you will recognize. I found the pastor's wife, and I told her my whole life story in 35 seconds at the children's church when I was dropping my son off. I did. I told her my whole life story. I just lost my father. He had just died in July, and I left my son's father of 13 years, and I was 98 pounds, and I was skinny, and I probably got loaded the night before. And she followed me to the parking lot. And she said, please, gave me a card, and she said, please call me and come and see me. And I did. And she tried to explain the cross to me. I was like, I don't get it. I don't get that Jesus guy. I don't get it. And I went on my way. And I went to church every Sunday, and I was a fixture, and I didn't read the Bible, and I went every Sunday, and that was the only time I was clean. And then for the next 3 years, I lived in two worlds. And I don't recommend that for anybody. That was the most horrible time of my life. I had the Holy Spirit living in me, and I was resistant to any leading that he was nudging me. Anytime it would come up, I would like, I don't want to talk about Jesus. Oh, no, I'm not going back to that church. And Satan had a field day with me. My sister-in-law called me and left a message on my phone. She wasn't very nice then. We have a healed relationship today, but she left me a message on the phone and said, I told everybody at church you're a junkie. Yeah, and I didn't go back to church. That's okay. God's hand was on me. He was for such a time as this. He was preparing me and growing me that whole time. And in 1995, I made a decision to get clean. Well, I don't know if I made a decision. I ended up homeless with a four-year-old. And I got into recovery. And, you know, we worked the steps in recovery, and we... God is in the book 96 times. They always want to say, don't talk about God, and they'll talk about Jesus, but he's in the book 96 times. So I get why they don't say that, because the women that were in recovery in 95 that knew Jesus never shoved it down my throat. They were about Jesus. They didn't talk about Jesus. They were about Jesus, and they loved me. And they loved me, and they kept praying for me. And anytime I would be struggling, we used to have this thing called tea time in one of our offices in the morning. And Denise and I would sit there, and they'd start bringing up that Jesus guy again. And I was like, oh, you're ever going to leave me alone with this Jesus guy? And they didn't, and they did it very lovingly. And I proceeded to live my life with all of these people around me, loving on me, building me up, filling me with the Holy Spirit, filling, praying for me. All I had, you know, somebody prayed me into Narcotics Anonymous, and somebody prayed me into church, where I would get filled up with the Holy Spirit. And it came out of great brokenness. I got into a relationship like we were told not to do. I did. And I was in that relationship for 6 years, and there was a time where I would have told you that relationship was all bad. And there were some really bad things that happened in that relationship, and I'll talk a little bit about that, but that relationship actually brought me to Christ in the end. So I lived 6 years, and I'm clean, and I learned how to stay clean, and I have this four-year-old son, and now he's 10. And I'm in this relationship, and it's all bad. It's all bad. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad. And then one horrible night, this man attacked me in our house. I was living with him, and he attacked me. And Jesus was there, too, because he woke my son up. And my son woke up and said, Mommy! And it all stopped. And from that night... And that time and that horrible thing that happened, I found Christ. And I went to counseling. And, you know, I don't know about you, but when I used to go to counseling, I used to go and expect that the other person needed to get better and not me, right? This is about you, not me. And that's what I thought, of course. I mean, right, when you think that, he attacked me. This is about him. So I go in this... Christian counselor gives me this little sticky note that I still have in my old Bible. I pulled it out this week, and she gave me three scriptures, and one was Psalm 139. And I went home, and I read it, and I was so angry. I closed the book. I'm not reading this. Search my heart. Why are you going to search my heart? What happened? I didn't do nothing. All these bad things, right? Yeah. And Psalm 139 became my comfort. And looking back, I saw God's hand's plan in that room. When I cried myself to sleep, the days of decadence I chose to the redemption. And each time I fall short, God is there. And he brings these pieces of the scripture up all the time because we're his masterpiece. We're created in his image. And every single thing that we do, he knew before we were going to do it. If you're sitting here today, and some of you are sitting here because God said, I know. Actually, all of us are sitting here because God said. So I stayed in that relationship from that time for 2 more years. We went to counseling, I forgave him, and we started going to church. Here's how God works, you guys. He's so beautifully amazing in his orchestration of our life. This old couple walked into the computer shop that my boyfriend owned, and they needed their computer fixed. And they went to, well, it wasn't Generations Church at the time. It was Pastor Ben's church at the time. I can't remember the name of it. Invited him to church. He said, come on, let's go to church. And meanwhile, let me say this. The whole time, Denise was in my ear. You should come to Calvary. You should come to Calvary. You'll love the music. You should come to Calvary. Come to Calvary with me. The other Denise was, come to church with us. The whole time, I had all these women in my life that I was working with that knew the Lord that were continually nudging me towards the Lord, right? So we go to this church, and this pastor starts talking to us about, you can't keep living like this. You're living in front of your son in sin. You're living together and you're not married. It's not okay. And I'm sitting there and I knew in my heart, like I was so broken that I couldn't get away because I didn't have any self-esteem and I didn't have any self-worth. But I knew in my heart somewhere that I wasn't supposed to be in this relationship. I knew it was like God used all this brokenness, all this time, and drew me in to give me the courage to walk out. And he did it with a computer store. He takes all things and works them for your good, for his purpose, right? He does. He takes all things. And so Pastor Ben started talking to us, and I said, oh, my spirit said, oh, I don't want to marry him. And things, I did, out loud, I said, I don't want to marry him. Huh, Denise, I said that out loud, right? And then things got really bad and really bad, and I started, and like in 2000, I think it was 2000. I had 6 years clean, and I woke up one day in this relationship in this house, and I was so broken, and I had this big gaping hole in my heart, and I kept trying to fill it with men and stuff and food and things, and nothing was working. The hole was just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I woke up, and I was either going to get loaded or I was going to commit suicide because I was so miserable. And I packed my stuff up a couple of times, huh, Amy. A couple of times I moved out and moved back. But I packed my stuff up. I called my sponsor. And by the way, you all know Deb Clark. She was the godly woman that was in my life from when I had 2 years clean, who just prayed over me and prayed for me. And I love you, Deb. I don't know if you're going to see this today, but I love you. And I called her and I said, I'm done. I'm leaving. I'm done. I have nothing. I'm leaving everything there. I'm going with what I have, but I'm done. And I started going to church with Denise. And I went to church one morning. I woke up and I said, come on, Christopher, we're going to go to church. And he goes, well, I'm going, but I'm not going in. I said, okay, well, you can sit in the car, but I'm going. And so I started going to church with Denise. And this morning while I was driving here, I got in my car and I turned the car on. And two of them... songs that's how God got me. I love music and I love to dance, and how he got me was with the worship. He spoke to me so loud in worship every Sunday. And and You Are Worthy to Be Praised was on the radio when I turned the car on this morning. And then here I am to worship. And God, what a perfect day for that. You know, here I am to worship God. Everything I am is about you. Oh, God. So I went to church with Denise for a couple of years, and my son came here. My son grew up, and he started surfing, and he came to Grace. And I don't remember much of those days except the worship. I started to, like, I would be with these ladies, and Denise would go, come on, we're going to go pray. And I'm like, I'm not praying out loud. You want me to pray out loud? I'm not praying out loud. I don't even know how to pray. And we were in this Bible study with these women, and I'll never forget, I said to this woman, how do you pray like that? And she said to me, just seek him, and he'll put the words in your mouth. Just seek him. And like all these little tidbits of things that resonated in my heart and my spirit, I held on to. And that was Pat. That was Pat. She said that to me. And I just hung on to everybody's words, and I started to go to Bible studies, and then I came to Grace. And I was a little tomboy when I came here. And they made me a girly. Kim made me a girly girl. I'm telling you, she made me a girly girl. I started doing fancy crafts, and I was like, oh, my goodness. I wanted to play softball. She made me a girly girl. It was so fun. So my son came here. He was a surfer, and he came to Grace. And I was full of the Holy Spirit. I had no word in me, though. I had little bits. I had little bits, tidbits of words. Another Christian counselor at Calvary that I went to with my son, because now he hated me. I got rid of, you know, I left his dad, and I left this new man, and it was all bad, but I couldn't explain that to a 10-year-old, you know, and he was really mad at me, so I took him to a counselor. And she gave me this book. It was a scripture union book. And that book gave me a scripture. It gave me an explanation of that scripture, and it gave me an application for the day. And that was so good for me because I didn't know the Bible at all. And I know very little of it now. I just have to keep going because it's a living, breathing thing that every time you open it, there's a new page that you thought you read that speaks to your heart. Oh, it's so good. It's such a good book. And so she gave me that, and that's how I started studying the Bible. I've studied that way. And then God was building my faith over this time, constantly building my faith over and over. I was doing this little devotion, Utmost for the Highest, and I could only understand about two sentences of it at that time. But I would be with Denise. We'd be out, and maybe Denise was struggling with something, and then the next day I'd go and I'd do my devotion, and the answer would be in the book. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Really? And that was happening to me a lot. God was filling my head with faith over and over again. I would read his word, and it started to make sense to me, and it would start fitting my life. And I called Denise up one time, and I said, am I crazy? Is this really happening? She goes, yeah, the Lord is speaking to your heart. Yes, it's really happening. And I got so hungry for the word, and I got so hungry to learn and to be around you people. And then I came to Grace, and you know, I came from Narcotics Anonymous to church, and we do service in Narcotics Anonymous because it's about our life. We have to give to other people because it saves our life. And so I came to church, and that was the first thing I did. I signed up for this, and I signed up for that, and there was this outreach and that outreach, and I put my name on everything, and I did the donuts for like a week, and then Tina Jones left and made me the donut person. I was like, oh, my God, where are you going? I'm here 2 weeks. That was the greatest gift of all because I got to know everybody being the donut lady. I got to know everybody at church. And I'm not shy, obviously. And so I got involved. And I did this for about 4 years. And I did it. And I committed to no men, and I committed to a relationship with Christ, and I committed to a relationship with me, because I didn't even know who I was. I was left with this empty hole, and I had no idea who I was or what I wanted or what I liked or any of that. And I did really well for 4 years, and I just kept filling myself up with scripture. I kept things that didn't make any sense. I just kept reading them, and I kept reading them, and I never went back to Psalm 39. I never went back because it really was not good. I didn't like it. I didn't want to search my heart. It wasn't about me. I had this bruise in my heart, and I didn't know how to let God heal that place in me. And over the years, he's healed my heart, and I've forgiven that man, and I pray for him because he's very broken, and I just hope he's okay. And there was a season where I got really lonely, and it's easy to revert back to your old life when you're lonely, right? And I don't know where or how. Oh, I know how. Jeremiah 29 became my one of my scriptures, because I would call Denise and leave a message, and it was on her answering machine. That's how Jeremiah spoke to me, on her answering machine. I'd call her house and leave a message, and it would always be, remember, I know I have the plans I have for you, and to prosper you and grow you. And just amazing how God uses everything, an answering machine to touch my heart. And then we used to buy these, we used to go to the Most Excellent Way every year and take a token. And Denise would pick the scriptures and what would be our scripture for the year. And at this time, our scripture for the year was Psalm 46:10. He says, "Be still and know that I'm God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world." And every single time I struggled, that scripture would come to mind. "Be still, Michelle, and know that I'm God. I got this. The plans I have for you are good." And that's how it resonated in my spirit. Whenever I wanted to sway and do something that wasn't Christ-like, I would hear that. Whenever a boy would get cute to me, because that happens, just so you know. Just so you know, when you follow Christ, it's not easy. Okay? I hear people say all the time, "God's will is wonderful." I'm like, whatever. Sometimes God's will is not so wonderful. Sometimes God's will is really difficult because it's opposite of our flesh. His will is opposite our flesh. And thank you, Jesus, for that. Because my flesh is wretched. And any time that I'd get weak in my spirit, and all of a sudden he put all these men in my life. He did. Mark McMahon, right? Cute. Mark McMahon was cute. Mark McMahon, George Ward, and who was my third husband? I had a third husband. Who was he? No, it wasn't Chris Chess. Was it Chris Chessmore? Okay. No, it wasn't. It was really wretched, guys. James Molina. It was James Molina. It was James Molina, right? It was George, and it was Mark. And I literally said one morning, "What are you doing, Lord?" I had a hairdresser, I had a yard worker, and I had a car washer. All three of them took care of me. God sent these three men in my life, and a couple times I had eyes for George, and I had eyes for Mark, and I was like, "Why are you doing this, God? I don't want to have eyes for anybody but you." And this is what he did. He taught me how to be friends with men. I learned how to have a brother in Christ. I did. I didn't know how to be friends with men. I didn't know. I batted my eyelashes at you, and you became my boyfriend, and then we moved in together. That's what my life was like. That's how I lived. And he put these three men in my life to teach me how to have a brother in Christ. I didn't know that then, though. This is all hindsight, just so you know. I didn't know that then. It was a lot of resistance and a lot of prayer and a lot of seeking guidance from the women that were Christian in my life. I would go to people, mostly Denise. She had to live with most of my stuff. I would go to people and say, "Do you believe this is happening to me?" And we would pray. And they would pray scripture over me. And one of the scriptures they prayed over me was 2 Timothy 1:7. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." Oh, I lived on those three scriptures for a long time, for 6 years. Whenever I was lonely, whenever I was scared, whenever I was afraid, those three scriptures sustained my life. And I had wonderful men in my life from this church. Some of my friends in recovery came alongside me, Steve and Lisa. We were buds out in Narcotics Anonymous, and they started coming to church with us. Kathy and Rick, recovery people, started coming to church. It was so rad. It was so rad. Remember when it used to be us and them? Michelle Dilley was so mad about that. Oh, good. I love you, Michelle. She was so mad about that. She said to me one day, "I hate it that there's an us and them. Everybody's recovering from something." And Ron's cousin said that up here. Ron's cousin said, "There's no us and them. Everybody's recovering from something. We're all recovering from something," right? And all of a sudden, we started to sit all over the place, and it was no longer us and them. And we started connecting with each other, and we started blessing each other with our experiences and our brokenness, and found that we're all broken. You know, we just have different faces of our brokenness. That's all, you know? And so I lived on these scriptures, and I made friends with Jose. I met Jose at the beach, because I went to be of service, and there were 100 women on this list from this church. I had a little resentment about this for a few years. There were like 4 or 5 women on the list, right? So I signed my name on the list. I go to the beach at 6:30 in the morning to help set up for the outreach, and I'm the only woman. And there was a drunken concert the night before. So here I am, my little skirt, picking up liquor cups and putting them in the thing. And I met Jose that day, and we became buds. He's my road dog for a long time. Thanks for being here, buddy. And so I committed my life to Christ, and he grew me, and he taught me, and he used these scriptures to bless my life. And all the time I was learning about things that Psalm 139 would pop in my head. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Right? You go before me. There's one translation that says you hem me in. I love that translation. You hem me in. And like I started to understand that he knew my past. He knows my future, and he knows my present. And I began to trust that a little bit, right? It's taken a long time to completely trust something you can't see. But here's what happened, you guys. You can't see it, but you can see it because it's all around you. I prayed this morning for your ears to be sensitive and your hearts to be open to God's leading in your life. And don't miss. We say in recovery, don't leave a minute before the miracle happens. Don't leave a minute before the Lord has something to speak to you. Listen, he's speaking. That crazy thought you think is in your head, that could be. That's exactly the thought that's his. The one you is so far-fetched. You know, the peace that surpasses understanding? Like, you can't understand God. Like, when I don't want to mock recovery because I love it. It got me here. But when they say in Narcotics Anonymous, the God of my understanding, I laugh. I don't understand God. How could you understand God? He loves unconditionally with all the grains. He loves me more than the grains of the sand. I can't understand him. I love it that I can't understand him because I keep trying. And so I continued to build my relationship with Christ. I continued to be of service here. I continued to learn. Some of the women in this church have blessed my life. Susan, Frankie, Trina, Kim. I watched Kim. I watch Kim. I learn from Kim all the time. Just watch Kim. She's so gracious. I know she hates me for doing this, but she was such an example to me of what Christ looks like. You know, I would watch her, and this was what Ron was talking about last week. I would watch her pray for people. A woman would come to her struggling, and she would talk for a minute, and then she'd say, you know, I don't know what the answer is, but God knows. Let's pray. Because before that, I was praying for people, and I had a lot of words. Lord, come fill her. Bah, bah, bah. And that was just me praying, right? That wasn't the Holy Spirit. But I watched her pray like that, and I started to pray like that. Oh, and the Lord started filling my lips with what he wanted me to say. It was so cool. That's the simple things that you learn when you're watching and you're sensitive. Like, when I walk into church and I'm struggling, I like, Lord, open my heart. I want to hear a message today. Instead of, oh, God, I don't want to stay in bed today. I don't want to go. I was up late last night. I don't want to stay in bed. Do I have to go to church? Some days I do that. I just want to stay in bed, but I come anyway because I feel like I'm missing a leg if I miss church on Sunday. So I come anyway, only if I'm sick or I'm out of town, I'm not here. So I spent 7 years single, letting the Lord change me from the inside out, and he did. Some of you that know when I first came here, I wasn't sweet like I am now. Was I? And I only just got sweet this last year. Three months now. So one day, in the years, here's another woman who blessed my life, Jill. Love you, Jill. I know you're watching. She did an outreach on the beach. I don't know, how much more time do I have? Like 4 minutes. Okay. She did an outreach on the beach, and she was talking about singleness and being in singleness and being okay with that. And so I went home because I was lonely again. And I said, okay, Lord, if this is where you'll have me be, then take this desire from me, and I'll just be yours, and I'll just be single, and I'll be okay with that. And in the meantime, I forgot about my son. I raised my son through all this too. And that was good because I needed somebody to help me with him. And so I prayed that prayer. And Lisa and Steve got married. It was so amazing. Such a fun wedding. We had such a good time. I was outside the church. I was standing outside the church, and it was probably like, I don't know, the week before their wedding that I prayed that prayer, right? So I'm outside the church, and Jose, and I'm still smoking cigarettes at the time, and I'm outside smoking a cigarette, and Jose comes walking out the church, and he goes, you're next. And I said, I'm next for what? He goes, a husband. I said, I don't even have a boyfriend. A husband? What do you mean, husband? He goes, no, next year, June, at their wedding. Next year, June. I was like, whatever. Silly. I think it was the following year. June, I went on my first date with my husband. Yeah. Crazy, right? But, and that was Kathy and Rick's wedding. There's a lot of weddings those couple of years. And that was Kathy and Rick's wedding. I went to Kathy and Rick's wedding the day after our first date, and I wanted to invite him so bad, but I thought it was too soon, you know, that silly schoolgirl stuff. And so my husband, how I met my husband, it was such a blessing from God. And some of you know this story, and I'll share it really quickly because we got to come to a close in a few minutes. But he called me when I was working in treatment, and he said, I have this girl who wants to get clean. I said, give her my number. And I knew Snake for 20 years. And he called me back a couple of days later. I said, you want her to get clean more than she wants to get clean because she hasn't called me. So he's, all of a sudden, 5:30 in the morning, I start getting these text messages. You know those text messages you guys get? Yeah. I started getting those. And I was like, who is this? And he said, oh, I'm sorry, you don't want the message? I said, no, I want the message. I just want to know who you are. And he said, Snake. So I started getting messages. And then I was at Spirit West Coast with Denise, and she said, wow, we should invite Snake to this. He would love this. Because at the time, if you remember Snake, he would introduce himself as, hi, I'm Snake, Bikers for Christ. He was a Bikers for Christ boy then. He was. He's so cute, and he was so cute, and so Denise said he would love this. We should invite him, and there was something different about him. We could see that there was something different about him, and so we invited him to come, and he hung out with us for the day at Spirit West Coast, and we were walking around Spirit West Coast, and I was talking about wanting something different in my life because somebody was talking about something really vulgar, and I was like, I want something different in my life. I don't want that anymore. I've had enough of that. I want a husband. I want a husband, I want a commitment, I want a godly marriage. And he had been praying for a godly woman. Simultaneously, we were praying for these things. And God brought us together, and we have a godly marriage. And we had a godly honeymoon. That's what I'm really excited about. My wretched life. I had a wretched life. I know there's kids in here. I had a wretched life, and I made a lot of bad choices. And God has redeemed all of that, and I am whiter than snow today, and I got the honeymoon of my life. I never did a thing right in my life. I did everything backwards. I'm going to keep it PG. I did everything backwards. Enough said. I did everything backwards, right? But not when it came to my relationship with my husband. He did everything wretched in his life. We had two wretched lives that God redeemed and brought us together. You know I love you more than my luggage. And so we had this beautiful, blessed wedding right here in this church. And we've spent, it'll be 10 years, March. It'll be 10 years that we're married. Yeah. Crazy, huh? I'm somebody's wife, and I'm pretty good at it. You know why? I'll tell you why I'm good. I'm good at anything I'm good at. Because Jesus is first in my life. I can't do anything without him. I cannot do anything without him. He is my source. He is our source. We go to him before we come to each other. I submit to my husband because I know that he seeks the Lord in all his decisions. And I submit to those. And he also, you know, God gave me him to be his helper. And he also comes to me to help him. And I try to do that most times without codependency and control. So I don't really have much time left, but
keep going.
So here's the other scripture that they gave me, and I'll end with this. And then, you know, if there's any of you that don't understand the presence of God, if you're sitting in this room and you've never felt the presence of God in your life, please, I know like you got your hearts a little pounding right now. Oh, I think she's talking about me, but I'm too scared to get up. Get up. Come up and let us pray for you. Let us bless you. Come up and let us bless you. Don't be scared. We've all been there. Okay, I'm going to read it from my phone. The counselor gave me Psalm 139, and I think my whole story was in that scripture. I think you could say, right? She gave me, I should read Colossians too. She gave me Colossians 21:23, and she gave me Psalm 37, and I'll read Colossians. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, free of accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under the heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Of which I, Michelle, have become a servant. And then she gave me Psalm 37. Can you imagine somebody who doesn't know anything about scripture reading these scriptures? This was a big one for me, but this is the good one. This is really good. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord. There's that be still again. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways. When they carry out their wicked schemes, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found, but the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose ways are upright, but their swords will pierce their own hearts and their bows will be broken. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth and of many wicked. Of the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. This is a long scripture. The blameless spend their days under the Lord's care, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. But the wicked will perish. Though the Lord's enemies are like the flowers of the field, they will be consumed. They will be up in smoke. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land, but those he curses will be destroyed. The Lord makes the steps of one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young and now I'm old. Yeah. I was young and now I'm old. That's true. I was young and now I'm old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. They're always generous and lend freely. Their children will be a blessing. Turn from evil and do good. Then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. Whew. Okay, God. I think I'm going to be done there, because there is so much more of that scripture. Finish reading it. And you know what? If it doesn't make any sense to you, that's okay. It doesn't have to. Just because none of this made sense to me 15 years ago. None of it made sense. And I just kept seeking the Lord, and he keeps speaking to my heart over and over and over again.